Hey, everybody, this is Heather Vickery. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Brave Files podcast. Holy moly, friends. As I'm recording this, the entire United States and many other countries throughout the world are slowly shutting down due to the coronavirus pandemic. In just a matter of days, we went from thinking, is this really a big deal? To the schools being closed, office buildings being closed, all entertainment shut down, bars and restaurants closed, and an entire nation of people who cannot get access to a test that would let them know if they're actually carrying the virus. To say this would be a traumatic experience for our economy is an understatement. And yet, what are we going to do? These are really scary times, friends, and the information is forever changing. And many of us are sitting at home helping our kids with distance learning, trying to figure it out. What the hell are we going to do? How do we do this? I'm an entrepreneur who's built a business that's mostly virtual. Even the in-person events that I speak at could be done online if need be. But for many people, and I'm sure a lot of you listening, this is all new. Whether you work for someone else and now you're working remotely, it's a new thing for you. Maybe this is a temporary shutdown. I hope so. Maybe your income is really damaged. Maybe you're an hourly worker, you're in the arts, or you're doing something where you don't get a consistent paycheck if you don't get out and do the work. We are all looking for new ways to pivot, try new things, build new businesses, and maybe figure out how to operate within this new normal. I've been supporting entrepreneurs and corporations in this type of work for years. This is exactly what my business is all about, helping people understand their fear and then leverage it to choose bravely. Because when we choose bravely on purpose, we choose bigger, we win bigger, and it's contagious, even during a pandemic. And yes, it is okay to make money during this crisis. In fact, it's imperative to make money because we all still need to survive. So if you need any support, I'd like to offer it to you. For the next few weeks, I'm offering gifted coaching sessions to anyone who wants support building something new, pivoting, taking that side hustle to the next level, or just staying sane while working from home. Just email me at heather@vickeryandco.com and we'll get you all set up. This is my gift to you because I want to see us all thrive during these uncertain times. I also encourage you all to join my free Facebook community, Brave on Purpose, where we are really stepping up to support, encourage, collaborate, and grow together. All you have to do is visit Facebook and search Brave on Purpose to join us. As some of you may already know, I batch record this podcast. If I tried to record each episode weekly, it would 100% run my life and it would drive my entire team, Team Brave, completely insane. Instead, I choose to run the podcast just like I do my business, using the Brave method that I use for myself and all my clients, and with strong boundaries and systems in place. So when I first recorded today's episode with Julie Schooler, it was a fun, lighthearted conversation about a mom who found herself out of work and decided to write a book. And then she wrote another book, and now she has over 10 books out. And I couldn't believe how perfect this episode fit in today's scary climate. Julie is a great reminder that you can do new things, you can do hard things, and you can do things that you never imagined. All you have to do is desire it. If there's a will, there's a way. As my own mentor, Aaron Anastasi, used to tell me, there's no such thing as I don't know how to. When your want to is high enough, you figure out how. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Julie and allow it to inspire you and encourage you to take a big leap into the unknown. And I look forward to connecting with all of you and supporting you through all of these crazy times.
Fun, love, and energy.
This is Heather Vickery, and you're listening to The Brave Files, stories from people living courageously. When we choose bravely in big and small ways, it powerfully elevates our lives. I hope these stories connect with you and encourage you to embrace bravery in every possible way, day after day. Together, we can build a movement of courageous living that enriches both our lives and our communities. And if you enjoy the show, I ask you to please share it with others. Maybe think of someone who you want to choose bravely right alongside you. Thanks for tuning in. Now here's the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Brave Files. This is Heather Vickery. All right, y'all. How many of you wish there was a guidebook to life, to parenting, to, well, I don't know, adulting? Well, me too. And guess what? Today's guest has actually written most of those guidebooks, and she's here today to talk about them. I am super excited about this. After getting fired when she was 6 months pregnant, today's guest, Julie Schooler, which that's a little bit of a tongue twister, Julie, I'm not going to lie about that, decided to chuck it all and write some books and reinvent her life. And she's here to tell us all about that. She's joining us from Auckland, New Zealand, where it's very early in the morning. And I'm delighted to have you here, Julie. Welcome to the Brave Files.
Thank you, Heather. That was a great introduction.
Thank you.
It's okay. It's 6:30 in the morning. My children wake me up at 6 o'clock on the dot every morning anyway. So.
Okay. Yeah. As they get older, they stop waking you up and they try to be sneaky and like get on their devices and stuff while you're still asleep. So.
I would love that.
You'll get there. I promise. Okay. So hold up a second. You have written 8 books in the last 4 years?
Yes, just about to publish my 9th, actually. It's kind of surreal to me. It's I can't believe it. It was early November 4 years ago that I published my first book. I'm looking to publish this 9th book at the same time. So 9 books in 4 years published.
Wow.
And I always talk about my 2 trashy novels that are not published.
I think you should publish them, Julie. What's stopping you? Trashy novels are very well read.
Yes, yeah, they do need a bit of reworking before they get out in the world.
Well, you should do, I don't know, over in New Zealand, do you do NaNoWriMo? National
yes,
Novel Writing
Month? That's when I wrote both of them. So that was, I wrote one in 2016 and one in 2018. So I'm going to write the end of the trilogy in 2020. So, yeah.
I love it. That's awesome. Okay, so what were you doing professionally when you got fired at 6 months pregnant, which seems, I don't know, about New Zealand. Here in the States, I think that's a lawsuit. I don't know.
I wasn't fired. It was a professional decision on the behalf of my employer, where I had been working as an employee, but then I had changed to a contract role, so they just terminated my contract, and it was just a business decision, and
okay.
I took it very badly. I took it as I'd been working there for 7 years as an accountant and business analyst, and I was 6 months pregnant, and I was just. It was just really hard. It brought up a whole lot of feelings of rejection. It must have triggered some sort of rejection emotion in me, and I was just distraught, really. And I didn't know what to do. I just didn't know what to do. I didn't want to try and find a full-time job when I knew I was going to be leaving. Well, I'd want some time off to have my child. And I just didn't know what to do. And
yeah.
I went and saw, I had been following this woman online and noticed that she was also a coach. And I went and saw her and she'd just written a book. And I said, oh, I kind of want to write a book.
Did you know what you wanted to write a book about?
No, I had no idea. I'd actually dabbled, I'd been blogging for a little bit and I dabbled in children's picture books, which looking back were terrible. And I was like, do I want to watch a children's picture book or do I want to write fiction or do I want to write nonfiction? I had no idea. And just through asking that question and talking to her, she helped me get over, well, helped me proceed through my sort of emotional response to being laid off. And then I was able to look at writing a book. So luckily, Eloise was a good sleeper. I started writing my first book. Through asking that question, I sort of fell into finding some other information online.
Okay.
And I found this, what they call self-publishing school, which is online.
Mm-hmm.
I invested in a course. And when Eloise was 3 months old, I started writing my first book. And by the time she was 6 months old, I'd published my first book. So...
That's a crazy. Yeah, you describe it as you drank from the fire hose when it came to publishing a book.
Yes. Yeah. I just loved learning everything about it. It was an entire new industry that I didn't even know existed. I didn't know that you could self-publish. I didn't know that you can literally type something up in Word and upload it into Amazon and you're a published author, you know, put a cover on it and you're a published author. I did it a little bit more professionally than that, but like you can do it. And I did not even know that that was a possibility. Yeah. And I also really had this limiting belief that writing a book would take a long time or it would take years. And this self-publishing school.
Can you tell us which one it is?
Yeah, it's called Self-Publishing School with Chandler Bolt, who is the owner of it. So you just look that up.
Would you recommend
it? And I highly recommend it. It was just getting started back then, but it's just grown phenomenally. And I still follow them, still follow the podcast and things like that now. And he promised, well, the company promised that you would get a bestseller on Amazon within 90 days.
And, wow, that's a big promise.
And he was wrong. It took me just over 100 days. So I was a bestseller in a tiny category on Amazon for about a day.
Yeah, I need to know. I'm in the process of doing that right now. What's the category?
So my first book was on potty training. So there's actually a category of toilet training. So
awesome.
Yeah. So this is the other thing. If anyone wants to write a book, you always want to write like this magnificent book, the great American novel, or you want to write your deepest, darkest memoir, or you want to write, you know, like, a hard book. But it's very good to start on an easier book.
And right.
I'd just been through potty training, my oldest child, and I kind of knew about it, and I read up a lot about it, and so I pretty much just wrote a manual, you know.
Yeah.
And I think 4 years on, you know, the books I'm writing now are not books I could have written back then.
I appreciate that perspective. You do grow. We get better at our craft, whatever we want our craft to be. So I am curious, because I'm going to read the names of your books, and I'd like to know how you became an expert on all of these topics, because this is a lot and they're very varied. So you've got Easy Peasy Potty Training.
Yes.
Easy Peasy Healthy Eating.
Mm-hmm.
Nourish Your Soul.
Oh, Nourish Your Soul is a series.
It's a series. Yeah. So Crappy to Happy, mm-hmm. Bucket List Blueprint, mm. Super Sexy Goal Setting, which I love the title of that. Find Your Purpose in 15 Minutes. Mm. And then you have a picture book, Maxi Moo Flies to the Moon.
Mm.
How did you become an expert on these topics?
I read a lot.
Right? I hear you. Yeah.
I just read a lot. And I had to get over imposter syndrome as well.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's 500 books on toilet training on Amazon. And luckily, I didn't know that when I first started writing it. And a lot of them are written by experts. And I had literally potty trained one child. Like, who was I to write a book on potty training? But that book just sells and sells. And I'm very open and honest about what I know and what my experience is in all my books.
Yeah.
And I always, one of the things to get over imposter syndrome is I just believe that my book is out there for the right, you know, my book will be the right book for the right person. And a lot of people like my book rather than something that's taught by an expert.
Yeah. No, people do like that. I appreciate that.
I started off writing a couple of parenting books. That was the Easy Peasy series. And then, and then I sort of moved more into self-help. So again, it's kind of like a progression. Should I tell you the story of the bucket list one?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So the bucket list blueprint, in 2016, I did 40 things on my bucket list in 1 year to celebrate my 40th birthday.
Awesome.
And it did not even occur to me at the time to write a book about bucket lists or about the challenge I did. And then afterwards, I was like, what am I going to write a book about? And I was like...
Why not this?
Oh, I could easily write about bucket lists. I feel like I know quite a lot about bucket lists. So it's kind of strange. Like the books really reflect what I'm interested in and what I'm going through at the times that I'm writing them.
I love that. I mean, how many people would ever think, I've just done this cool thing in my life. I've just potty trained. I've just done a bucket list, and well, screw it. I'm going to write a book about it. It's so inspiring to me. It's a little bit how my second gratitude journal came about, because I was spending so much time in the space of gratitude and people were like, I want to do this with my kids. That one I did very quickly, literally in like 6 weeks, but I was sort of building off of something that I'd already built. And the idea that you can know enough to produce something like a book just based on your lived experience, I think is really incredible.
Yeah, that sounds good. So you got a gratitude journal for grown-ups and one
to do
with your kids as well.
Yes.
I knew you had one. I didn't realize you had two. Oh, I have to have another look.
Yeah, there are two of them, and I would love to have you check them out. Thank you for that. I'm very, very proud of them. So you are a self-published author for all of your books?
Yes. Yeah. We in the industry, we like to call ourselves independently published. Because it's not self-publishing, because I've got an editor and I have a cover designer, and for a while I had a formatter, although now I do my own formatting. Yes, so we independently publish.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and same for me. I have, an editor, a copy editor, layout designer, cover designer, all of that. You know, that goes as a professional, as a coach, I don't ever want anybody to try and do all of the things on their own. First of all, you're not going to be great at everything, because that's just not the way it works. So do the thing that you're great at and let somebody else do the thing that they're great at. Delegate, delegate, delegate.
Yes, definitely. And I couldn't have written a children's picture book without an illustrator.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are actually working on a kid's gratitude coloring book.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Isn't it? Yeah. It'll be really cool. So we're working on that one. Which of your books is your favorite?
Still my favorite is Crappy to Happy. Yes.
Why?
That's the one that I aspire to the most. Like, I need to reread it myself all the time. It's got I think it's the most personal, and it has the most helpful things for mamas like me.
Can you just give us a tiny description of the
book? It talks about how to analyze your thoughts and emotions. It talks about gratitude and meditation. And then it talks about different ways that you can try and be happier. Because being happier is harder than not being happy. We're prehistorically programmed to be negative. And it's just about striving to be happy no matter what, especially when, you know, life is tough as a mama. Yeah. And, yeah, I just really enjoyed writing that book.
I love that.
Sorry.
As you say, I believe in all of that. I have a certification specialization actually in positive psychology, and it's all doable, but it does take work. You can actually scientifically become more happy.
Yes, yes. And I have to remind myself of that every day, and the book is out there, so to just give people, inspire people, to anyone, mamas and anyone, that they can be happier if they choose to be as well. It's a choice.
I love it. How has written all of these books changed your life?
I can't even remember my old life, really. Yes, everything is different. You know, it coincided with having a second child. And I firmly believe that having my first child actually started me on a creative journey, and now I can't stop. Like I know I've got a whole lot more books in me. Like every time I finish a book, which I've just finished another book now, I think, oh, I don't even know what I'm going to write for the next book. Like, what have I got left? And then
I start all over again.
Yes, I know. I just start all over again, and it's just exciting. I think mostly, it's just knowing that I actually am a creative person, and that I'd stifled that for 20 years. Wow. I used to write when I was a kid, and then it just went away. Mm. And it's just, you know, it's something that I don't want it to go away ever again now.
I love that so much. Is this your primary source of income?
Yes, at the moment. I am committed to being at home with the kids, at least until my daughter goes to school.
I got that. Yeah, good for you. I'm curious, for folks who are out there that doing this, they want to be an independent publisher, not self-published. We got schooled on that.
You can say self-published. Everybody
literally
knows
schooled
that.
On it. That was funny. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that the way it sounded, but that was great. I cracked myself up, folks. How do you promote and market your books without the support of a publishing team?
Oh, that's a million-dollar question, Heather.
Right? I know. I'm asking for myself.
I throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. I do all sorts of things like I'm dabbling in ads on Amazon and also, of course, talking on podcasts and social media and building an email list and all the things you get told and all the things that introverted writers don't want to do too much of. And regardless of how you're published, even if you're traditionally published, all things, you know, you don't bake a pie and not promote it somehow. And, you know, like you have to have it in your store window for people to buy it. And it's the same with a book. You've written an entire book and you need people to know about it. And so, again, it's getting over imposter syndrome and getting over the fact that...
Easier said than done. Maybe the next book should be on imposter syndrome. Is that what it's on? Is that the topic?
I hadn't really thought about that, but that's a really good idea. I think I'll write it. I did write a blog post on
a dedication.
Yes. it might be on sleep, but I'm very wary on, you've heard it here first, I'm very wary on telling people what the next book is going to be about because I've just finished a book. Part of the reason I wrote it is purely because I'd been talking about the fact that I was going to write on that topic for like 2 years.
Oh, that's funny.
Everyone said, when is your decluttering book out? I'm waiting to declutter my house until your decluttering book is out.
Oh, wow, no pressure. I love it. What's your writing process like?
So ideally, I would love to write in early morning and unfortunately I can't. So I write around the kids. So I just write when I can and... I just sit down and after I've done a whole lot of research and sort of meshed it all together, I start writing a first draft. So it's not like, if I'm in book writing process, I'll write every day. And then when I'm not in like writing a book process, I won't write every day. So the conventional advice is to write every day, but I like the sort of harvest season advice where I write, you know, for a couple of months solid and then go on to like editing and formatting and then publishing and marketing the book. I seem to only be able to do one book at a time. Some people can do, you know, multiple books and
I could. Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say that. I have a couple of books that are hiding in the wings that I haven't. I'll do and then I'll step away from it and I'll do and they'll all get done eventually. But yes, I struggle with the writing every day. I want to write every day, but sometimes it's really hard to write every day. Even when I'm on a project, like, do you set aside? I know you said you write around the kids. Do you set aside like half an hour, an hour? How long will you sit and write for?
If I'm in book writing process, then if I do a couple of hours, then I'm pretty happy. Or if I do 2 or 3 hours and I do 2 or 3,000 words, then I'm pretty happy.
Yeah.
Or that's kind of like a chapter if I try to write a chapter.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't like the advice of writing every day and I don't like the advice of, like there's the advice where you stop in the middle of a sentence and then you can start again. Oh, have you heard that advice?
No.
It's supposed to be, I think, I don't know if it's a myth that it's from Ernest Hemingway, but
I was just about to say, Ernest Hemingway said to stop writing when something was good, when you were excited about it.
Right. But I have to kind of stop writing when I'm kind of finished that thought process or that kind of section or something.
Yeah. I get that. I totally get that.
It's taken me a long time to kind of figure out what's my ideal writing process. So, you know, and I think you've got to take the advice and then work out what is best for you for writing.
Yeah.
And also what's doable. You know, some people can only do, you know, 10 minutes after everything has been done for the day.
Sure. Yeah, that doesn't mean don't do it. It just means it takes a little bit longer. I love that. All of these books, they come out, they get published, they start selling. How do you celebrate those successes?
I do things I love with people I love.
That's awesome.
So, you know, have a drink with a friend, or try and have a date night with my husband, or take the kids out for a fun activity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are great. Those are great ways to celebrate.
And I love celebrating my book being out.
I love
tooting my own horn. It still strikes me as strange that I've even written a book, and I've written 9 books. I don't know what's the...
I think it's awesome. What would you say has been the biggest struggle for you in this process?
I like the question, but it just doesn't feel like a struggle. Like, it really doesn't. Like, every day I'm at home and I'm doing something I love, and I don't know, I enjoy learning everything I'm learning, even in the marketing and everything, you know, like even the business side, because I'm an accountant anyway, I like the odd spreadsheet and things like that, and I like testing out marketing, and it's just amazing, like, everything that's happened. I'm trying to think of a struggle. Probably getting over imposter syndrome,
you've mentioned that a number of times. Mm. I'm not trying to invent a struggle where there isn't one. I think it's great. I a lot of folks that I know, particularly moms, find it very difficult to work in the margins of parenting. Do you have any tips or tricks about, I mean, you said you just work around the kids when you can. For me personally, I work really hard to compartmentalize. When I have Be Here Now tattooed on the inside of my left wrist. So when I'm working, I want to be 100% working and focused. When I'm with the kids, I want to be 100% focused on them, because I find if I pull my attention from one to the other, I half-ass everything. Mm-hmm. But you're somehow able to do that. So do you have any tips for us to be more successful in that space?
I write a lot about this in one of my books, or a couple of my books, but I try to do it myself. I have deadlines. I have accountability.
Yeah.
I set up systems so that I can't, well, I mean, I can still fail, but it's less likely to fail. And, you know, like, for my latest book, I knew I had 2 weeks of school holidays coming up where both my children aren't at school or kindergarten. And so I told my editor that I was going to give her the finished manuscript on the Friday of the before school holidays started, and so that was my accountability, and I had a deadline as well. So and so that was a tough week, because I did write a whole lot more than what I'd usually write. Like, I was writing in the evenings and, you know, late and things. But sometimes you just, you know, you've got to work a bit harder to make it happen. And then have a rest afterwards. You know, like, I also had planned a 3-day break, you know, two nights away with the family. So I had for the following week. So when I go away with the family, I try to go offline. So I was like, well, I have to get the manuscript in by this date, and I want to have a relaxing time with the family.
I love that.
So I had the sort of carrot and the stick going on.
Exactly. Deadlines and rewards. Yeah. Yes. And accountability. Yes. Deadlines create accountability, and then there's this reward at the other end. That's a great system. It's one that I work with a ton of clients for on a regular basis. I'm a fan of rewards. I've been known to have clients, like, list out both from really small rewards to big rewards they can give themselves. If it's as simple as, I'm going to follow through on my social media strategy for the week, are you, you know, whatever, are you getting a special cocktail at the end of the week, or are you getting a pedicure, or whatever it is, to, we're going to go on vacation because my book is turned in to the editor. So I am a big fan of the reward system.
I just even have, like, checking off every day on my calendar, like, just a tick of for writing or for my workouts or whatever.
Yeah.
Just seeing a ticks every day, you know, check marks every day.
I love it. Do you have any unexpected joys from this? I mean, there are a lot that maybe seem expected, but any that sort of snuck up on you?
There's been a couple of really strange stories that have come out of this new life I lead. And I found a long lost friend, which I would not have expected to find through. So I've been following a person online, a author online, and through that person, just coincidentally, they knew someone. And then we worked out that they knew this person that I'd sort of lost contact with 10 years ago. And we got back in contact again.
That's awesome.
And I don't know if we would have got back in contact if I hadn't started writing books. Like, it was the most bizarre small world thing that happened. It still blows me away. And the other unexpected joys are just the people that come back to me and say how much their books have touched me. Like, my sister has just turned 40 and she's doing 40 things on her bucket list.
Yeah, I love it.
And I know I've got another friend that's doing 40 things on a before she turns 40 bucket list. So,
well, I'm going to have to do 50 before I turn 50.
Yeah.
I turn 45 this year, so they'll give me 5 years to knock out.
Yeah. Well, you could do 45, yeah.
Well, but I mean, I'm here. 45 is...
Or you could do 50 before 50, yes.
Exactly. At the time that this episode will air, I will be formally planted in 45. So,
yeah, it's amazing. And like another, just one more story, but I have another friend and she started her business through, because I was on a online video summit and there was other people talking on that summit and she followed another person. And she started a business in the same kind of area as that person. And she said, you know, if she hadn't been following me and then gone onto the summit, then she wouldn't have started her own business. So just
That's
these
awesome.
Very unexpected kind of, like, who would have thought? I wrote a book on potty training and and like I found a long lost friend and I got a bracelet from my friend who started, creating crystal bracelets. Like, wow. Yeah.
The universe does work in mysterious and magical ways.
Yes.
I believe that is the truth. You told me that you had a really great clean joke to share. And I would like
goodness,
to hear it.
You put me on the spot here. I do have a couple. I always have a couple up my sleeve. So I've got a couple. I'm like, are they clean enough?
Well, I was getting, my next question was, do you have a good dirty joke? So it doesn't have to be clean enough.
No, I'll tell you my clean joke. That sounds like a bad joke, but it's not. So how do you find Will Smith in the snow?
It does sound like a bad joke. I don't know.
Look for the fresh prints.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, it does. It totally starts off bad. You're like, bad joke, you meant, sounds racist, but it's not.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right.
I don't know if that's clean enough. Should I actually find, I should find
no.
something.
Yeah. Well, it starts, I was like, uh-oh, where are we going with this? But the Fresh Prince is funny. I like that. That's my childhood. I grew up with Fresh Prince, so that's hilarious. All right. Well, you are a lot of fun. I'm going to check out all of these books. Where can everybody find your gazillion books?
Yeah, so my books are found on all good online bookstores now, not just Amazon, Apple, Kobo, and everywhere, and in lots of libraries, and yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How do you get into the libraries? Can we just talk about that for a second?
Yeah, so if you upload into a distributor, like I've uploaded my books into a place called Draft to Digital, then they have access to put your ebooks into libraries. And so your ebooks are available in libraries. Also, some of my print books are available in selected libraries around. It's just
cool.
Like the entire ecosystem just blows me away. Like sometimes it says I've got a sale from like Walmart or Barnes and Nobles, and I'm like, well, I haven't put my books in there, but obviously somehow through distribution channels they've got in there.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's so fun. That is so exciting. Like I would be. I get when I check podcast downloads and I'm like, oh, they're listening in Uganda or Auckland or wherever. I'm like,
does it have the geography? Wow, that's amazing.
It does. It shows. It doesn't show all time listens from all over the world, but it'll show you from the past week where people have been listening.
Wow, that's amazing.
So here's the, if you are listening from someplace outside of the United States, will you call me at 312-646-0205 and tell me where you're listening from and what you like about the show? Please, will you please do that? I want to know who's out there. People in France listen and in Ireland, and I know it's an international number. I get it, but you can hook me up, right? You can do it because it's so much fun to find out. Okay, Julie.
I hadn't thought about calling you because I just thought, oh, it's in the United States. But of course I could.
Anybody could call. Yeah. There's a way to do that. We use
yes.
Google Voice number, right? Can you get a United States Google Voice number from?
I'm sure I can.
I bet you can. I don't know how that works, but I bet it's doable.
Yes.
I'm still cracking up, but my kids are going to say it's a bad dad joke that you schooled us. Julie Schooler, get it, folks, get it.
Yes. Sometimes people are like, "You're telling me off," and I'm like, "Oh yes, yes." The way I come across sometimes.
Like, no, I love it. Yeah. No, not bad at all. I think it's fantastic. But I get to ask now, since I cheated and I asked the celebration question earlier because it just seemed like the right time to ask it. But what is your favorite charitable organization to support?
So I've supported a number of organisations in the past. I really like helping out organisations in developing countries. So in the past, I've supported Doctors Without Borders and
it's awesome.
And Tear Fund and UNICEF and places like that, Kiva. But what I want to talk about today is a more local one. So every Christmas, every festive season, my local Salvation Army store sends me an email, and for the last 5 years they've asked me if I want to help them out. And so what they do is they tell me they tell me about a family and the ages of the children, and then I just buy the presents for one family.
And that's awesome.
And also like a sort of a food hamper as well, and then just wrap up all the presents and supply them to the Salvation Army, and they give them directly to that family. So I quite like that kind of very local and very direct.
Yeah, I agree. I do national and international charitable organizations all the time, but I do love getting involved in my local community. So maybe that's our call to action to the listeners today, is to get involved on a grassroots level in an organization that's making a difference in your community, because folks, we can't grow without it.
Yes, I don't know if every sort of Salvation Army or charity has that kind of setup, but I'm sure there is something you can do that's kind of a direct local sort of act of kindness.
Yeah, there has to be. I love that so much. Julie, I can't wait to see what your next book is about. I think we should write one together. I'm just going to go and put that out there. Maybe that's why I've been dying to go to New Zealand. Maybe I just need to do a little sabbatical and we can write a book together. What do you say?
Maybe we could write a travel book about New Zealand. That would be great.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't be quite on our brand. We need something kind of a bit more. Well, yeah.
Travel gratitude, something. I don't
yeah,
know.
Something. Or we could do some sort of bucket list.
Yeah. I think there's something there. So everybody, stay tuned. Julie and I are going to collaborate.
Yes.
I love it, Julie. Thank you so very much for being here. You have a fun energy, and I'm so in awe of your ability to create all of this from nothing. Like, oh, this sounds fun. Let me just do this, and then to go forth and do it so many more times with no end in sight. You're there. You're like, there'll be another one. I don't know what it is, but there it goes. So what an inspiration you are.
Oh, thank you, Heather. Well, I've written 9 books. I have to write 10, like this, at least. There's like something about I have to write at least the 10th one. And then it just continues. But thank you, Heather. That was just, you just asked the best questions.
Oh, thank you. It was so much fun. So much fun to have you here. Listeners, the deal is there are no freaking rules, right? You do not have to follow a playbook, and you're not stuck. Besides, whatever you want to know more about, Julie's probably about to write a book about it if she hasn't already done that. So I wish I had an easy peasy book to building a brave community of supporters on Patreon. But I do not. That book has not been written yet. And if it has and somebody knows about it, you need to send me a copy. But instead of that, I'm here asking, heart on my sleeve, asking for your support. I have big plans for the Brave Files, including live shows that will travel, more community involvement, donations, giving back to charity, and a Brave scholarship. If you want to know more about what that means, you have to join us. So in order to make these dreams come true, I need your support. Please head over to Patreon, that's patreon.com/Brave Files. Check out all the options and join us today. I thank you so much for being here, for listening, for supporting, for going out every day and putting your wonderful energy out into the world. This is Heather Vickery reminding you today and always to choose bravely. Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/thebravefiles and browse their unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title of your choice for free and start listening. It's that simple. Just head to audibletrial.com/thebravefiles. You've been listening to The Brave Files, stories from people living courageously. To learn more about the show, find our show notes, or get some great bonus content, visit thebravefilespodcast.com. And we'd love to know what you think. You can give us a call at 312-646-0205. Let us know your thoughts on the episode, the show in general, or maybe share with us how you're out choosing bravely. This episode is brought to you by Vickery & Co. Success Coaching. Coaching that helps you maintain a life well lived and a business well run. Learn more at vickeryandco.com. Our music is produced by Matt Lewis. Follow him on Instagram at Matt M Music or visit his website, theunionband.com. We couldn't do any of this without our extraordinary audio engineer, Andrew Olson. Learn more about him and check out his work at findandrewolson.com. And special thanks to our associate producer, Kim Statler. I'm your host and executive producer, Heather Vickery. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.